I liked it. See if this thing is on and I can get it on. Open your Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. I'm just going to read the first two verses, so you can just follow along as I read. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's pray. Lord, we come into your presence and we would like to please you.
Amen.
We would like, Lord, that our hearts would be tuned so that we could sense the Holy Spirit's leading. We pray, Lord, you'd bring us to a place of confession, honesty, repentance, and that we'd walk in your ways. Give us wisdom. And then, Lord, I ask you to give me freedom and ease to preach that only you can give. And touch every heart and life that listens to my voice. And I ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In the Old Testament, high priest had a vest of stones, precious stones. And sometimes when they were looking for the will of God, they would go to this high priest, and I'm not sure whether they lit up or what, how it worked, but it was, they're called a Urim and a Thummim. And that's where they got, knew they had the will of God. And so different ones would seek, and they would go to the priest to find out the will of God in certain areas. Now, we don't have that anymore. I don't even know if the Jews have it anymore. We get the knowledge of the will of God by Urim and Thummim.
Amen.
Not the Urim and Thummim, but Urim and Thummim of this book will give you the will of God. Okay? Now, that's what I'm going to talk about today. You'd be amazed how many people ask a preacher if this is the will of God. How close can I get to sin and not be sinful? How far can I go sexually and not really commit sin? We have lots of questions about the will of God. Well, I want to read some things in the scripture, and these two verses are just tremendous on what the will of God is. Now, Billy was talking about the will of God this morning, and we ought to want to know his will. I remember the change in him. Man, it came drastic, beautiful. I didn't have to worry about him anymore. I worried about him a long time. And now I didn't have to worry about him anymore because he wanted to do the will of God. What is your purpose in life? Are you just living? Just raising your kids or looking for a mate? Are you looking for a better job or a better house? What is your will? And by the way, does it have anything to do with the will of God? Now look at what is said here in these two verses. Tremendous, tremendous teaching we're going to have here. I beseech you. I'm pleading with you. I'm doing my best to convince you. Therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now, that would have to be by the mercy of God, wouldn't it? Anybody have a perfect body? I don't know of any. Now, they got some out in Hollywood they think are, you know, and they show them off all the time. But, everybody's got a wart or two. There's something wrong with everybody. I heard, there was an old evangelist that I knew when I was young, and he was old. And he was a very good preacher, Dan Vestal. As a little child, he was thrown or fell into a fire, like an open fireplace, and it scarred his face bad. And by the time I knew him, he had something like 25 operations on his face. And he thought it was a whole lot better, but it was still bad, you know. The scars were there. Even with all those operations, that falling into that fire had done something to him. But what he had learned about people is that even the most beautiful people that other people think are just gorgeous, handsome, strong, beautiful, they're very conscious about little flaws in themselves. I see sometimes some of these people getting plastic surgery, and I wonder why. And then after they get it, I still wonder why. I heard of a plastic surgeon in Florida who wasn't a plastic surgeon. He just advertised himself as a plastic surgeon. And some of the women that went to him for breasts, well, they could just move them all over. Wouldn't you hate to pay thousands of dollars to a guy who's not really a plastic surgeon? But all of us, we don't have any perfect bodies. Even the most beautiful people are self-conscious about, my nose is too big, my lips are too thick, or my lips are too thin, or who cares? Amen. Really, really. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. It would be the mercy of God if God would allow you to come into His presence and serve Him. Wouldn't you think that? I would think that. I think it's the mercy of God that He called me to preach. I think it's the mercy of God that He's let me preach this long and that I'm still here preaching. I'm thankful every day. When I get up, now don't get me wrong, I wouldn't mind going to heaven today. I know that's a far better place, okay? But I also know that the only place I can work for God is here. I'm not going to be working, earning, doing anything towards the salvation of souls or the help of believers up there. It'll be over. My job will be finished. Praise God, I've got an opportunity to serve God today. Do you? Amen. If you're alive, you do. If you're alive today, you've got an opportunity to repent of your sins. If you're alive today, you've got an opportunity to seek God's face. If you're alive today, you got an opportunity to think about the will of God in your life. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. I want you to think a minute. Most of the sacrifices that went through the temple were a sacrifice of death. They shed the blood. They cut the animals up. The priest ate them. Sometimes maybe the person that's offering got a part eating of them. But most of the sacrifices that you're talking about in that tabernacle in the Old Testament are dead sacrifices. They're not living. Every once in a while they would take one and maybe put some blood on it and turn it loose or carry it out into the wilderness, but by far the great majority of the sacrifices were dead sacrifices. Now that's over. With Jesus Christ dying upon the cross of Calvary, that is the last dead sacrifice that we'll ever need. No more. Once He came, He gave a perfect sacrifice, and with that perfect sacrifice, what happened? Man, it stopped. Now, they don't have a temple over there. The Jews aren't sacrificing any animals today and have not been doing it for thousands of years. Long, long time. Notice what it said here. A living sacrifice. You know what God wants out of you? He wants you alive. He wants you talking. He wants you living. He wants you communicating with other people in this world today. He wants to use you. Would you like to be in God's hands? Be a living sacrifice. I'm going to live for God. That's God's will. God doesn't will for you not to be. God doesn't will for you to die. God's will is that you would live and live for God. God's will is that you would live and live so that you influence people that you know. That's the living sacrifice. And that's what He wants. What is the will of God? That you live for Him while you live in this life. That you're a testimony. That you help some people. You know, you might help a little old lady across the street or a little old man across the street. I'm not a little old man, a big old fat man maybe across the street. But He wants you to live. He's not looking for your death. He's looking for your life. He's looking for your care. He's looking for your love. He's looking for your concern. He's looking for your thoughtfulness about somebody besides yourself. And you know what happens in this world? Most of us think about ourselves.
Amen.
That's one of our biggest problems.
Amen.
The reason why we can't do much for anybody else, we're too interested in what it's going to do for us. Well, God wants you to think about somebody else, including God. What you can do for Him. And one of the things you can do for Him, you know, the Bible says, if you give to the poor, it's like lending to the Lord. God counts it. Now, God is never in our debt, you understand. Because all the air you're breathing, I don't know how much you'd have to pay for that, but that's God's gift to you. And breath and life and intelligence and 78 years. What would you pay for that? Well, that's the gift of God. All of that is God's mercy. God has given that to you. You could never be where God was in your debt. And yet God says, He that giveth to the poor, lendeth to the poor. It's like lending to the Lord. And will you think anybody's going to have a debt that God hadn't paid? No. God pays better than the stock market. He pays better than real estate investment. He pays better than anything you can think of. You can't get anything better.
Amen.
Then why wouldn't you want to be a living sacrifice and that be the will of God for your life, that I could live for God while I live in this life, to bring honor and glory to His name and peace and help to some of the old people that live around me. Now, it says, which is your reasonable service? The will of God, a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service. Isn't it reasonable? What's Jesus done? Well, every Sunday night, we remember what Jesus has done for us. Some people, they have a crucifixion Sunday. Well, every Sunday is a crucifixion Sunday around here. We don't just remember one time a year that Jesus came and died and paid our debt and shed His blood on Calvary's cross. We remember it every Sunday. Why? It's the greatest event and the greatest thing that's ever happened to you.
Amen.
Are you saved here today?
Amen.
You a child of God?
Amen.
You belong to Him? You love Him? You want to please Him? Then you're giving thanks for the death of Christ in your place. What a sacrifice. It's not a matter of church membership. It's not a matter of being baptized, although these are good things. It's a matter of what would please and glorify God. Your living service. Your living service. Because He has performed the death. His blood was shed so that you don't have to shed yours. He died in your place so you don't have to be judged and die. Praise God. What a wonderful thing. At any rate, it says your reasonable service. Isn't it reasonable that if He died for you, you should live for Him?
Amen.
Doesn't that make sense? It makes sense to me. What if I want to do the will of God, how can I consider it? What should I do? What would be the reasonable thing? God has died so that I can, if I die, when I die, I'm going to go to heaven. And it says it's a much better place. Far better place. Paul said in the book of Philippians, he said, but I'm still here because you need me. Well, some of us are still around because we're still needed. And if you're here, you're evidently needed. Somehow, God's got something in plan for you. He wants a reasonable sacrifice, a reasonable service. You don't have to die. Well, what does he want? He wants you to live. He wants you to live and be a testimony. I personally believe that God left me here for something. Maybe some person I'm to preach to. Somebody I'm to witness to. Somebody I'm to reach. I don't know who that person is or when it's going to take place. But if you're here today and you're still alive, there's a reason for it.
Amen.
Now, isn't it reasonable to say, if Christ died for me, I should live for him? I think that's your reasonable sacrifice. So what about the will of God? Live for God. How much time do you spend thinking about whether you're living for God or not?
Amen.
I don't think you spend much time.
Right.
I think you spend time on, I got to get to work. Oh, I got to get the car. I've got to get the groceries. I've got to get the kids. I've got to. But we stay pushed by our schedules, don't we?
Amen.
We don't think a whole lot about, well, what is God going to do today? Do you get up in the morning and pray, Lord, since you died for me, I'd like to live for you today. Lord, would you lead me to somebody who I can talk to? Would you lead me to somebody that needs me? Would you lead me to somebody that'll listen to me? Wow. I prayed a prayer like that when I'm getting ready to knock on doors. I used to knock on doors all the time. And as I'm going up and down that block, I'd say, Lord, there's a lot of people on this block. Lead me to somebody today that'll accept the message. Lead me to somebody today I can make a difference in. That's the will of God. Now, that's a reasonable service. Now, look at us the way we dress. We want to conform, don't we?
Amen.
We want to conform. Well, what does he say? Be not conformed. Will of God? You know what the will of God is? That you be not conformed. You shouldn't dress like everybody else. You shouldn't talk like everybody else. You shouldn't buy what everybody else buys. You shouldn't have any area in your life to where you just got to be like the world. That's one of the problems with the world today.
Right.
One of the problems with the church today
right.
is that it follows the guidelines of the world. We don't want to be different. And yet, what does the verse say? Read it. Very simple. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world. Let me tell you something. From reading and using and thumbing of the Word of God, I would say you need to be nonconformist. I don't care how the rest of the world talks. And by the way, some of you lovely ladies, I just despise tattoos on ladies. Okay, I offended half of you. All right. It just cheapens everything to me. I don't like it. I don't care who, what movie star tattoos saltwater places. Why don't you be your own person? You don't have to be like them. He said, be not conformed to this world. And that's one of the problems among Christians today. They want the church to be conformed like the world.
Right.
They want to bring the whole the world into the church so they can feel comfortable. Don't be different. Well, we're supposed to be different. One of the things about the will of God is you don't conform to this world. That's what he says right here. How plain can it be? Be not conformed to this world. That's the will of God. You need to be a peculiar people. That's what the Bible says. Now, you don't need to be that kind of peculiar. But you need to be different. You need to be someone who can stand on their own, and you don't have to be like everybody else. When they drink, you don't have to drink. When they smoke, you don't have to smoke. When they get a tattoo, you sure don't have to get a tattoo. Okay, if you're an old sailor, an old salt, a marine, okay, we'll accept in your culture you had to have your tattoos to get along. You're still stupid, okay? Painting your skin, what if you don't like it next week? Come on. What if you don't like it next week? You ever thought about that? Well, it's a whole lot harder to take off than it is to put on. Well, at any rate, be not conformed to this world, but now notice here, be ye transformed. Woo! God wants something different out of you. If you're a child of God, God doesn't want you to be like everybody else.
Amen.
He wants you transformed into His image. He wants your thinking like He thinks. He wants your thinking to think like the Bible thinks. What the Bible says and what it teaches us is that there are certain things that please God. Well, would you like to be a God pleaser or a world pleaser? I think most of us in most of the churches today, they're definitely world pleasers. They got everything in the world. A church has got to be like a department store. They got everything. Some of them even have their own Starbucks in the church, out in the lobby. I don't know. I don't even like coffee anyway, so. But I don't like that idea. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Here's the answer. It's not that we impose laws from the outside to change you inside. That doesn't ever work, in case you didn't know. You can get people to conform to certain things, but it doesn't work. It doesn't change the inside. Here's what he said. Transform by the renewing of your mind. I remember when Billy was a teenager and he wanted long hair. I cut it for a long time until I just couldn't stand the long hair. You're going to have to pay for a haircut. Well, all of a sudden, he changed his mind. Zip! That hair went off of there. Wasn't any problem. What happens when you change your mind? You change your mind, you change your actions. And boy, that's the easiest way to do it. Myself, I was smoking and drinking and cussing. And all of a sudden, I got saved. And I knew that was just trashy stuff. I knew, man, a saved fella shouldn't be doing things like that. Shouldn't be telling dirty jokes. Shouldn't be cussing. Shouldn't be certain places. You know what? It happened in one day. Amen. I just quit.
Amen.
Just quit.
Amen.
Now, that was a little hard on the cigarettes. I was smoking 2 packs a day. And all of a sudden, I just replaced the New Testament where my Camels used to be. And every time I had a nicotine fit, which was often, I would pull it out and say, "Oh, Lord," and read. Man, I got read the Bible or New Testament 20 times first year. But it took me 3 months. After 3 months, I didn't have any problem with cigarettes. Cold turkey. I didn't have any patches on my arm. I didn't have somebody coming around patting me on the back. In fact, the guys I was around were blowing smoke in my face. How's that smell, Kincaid? You say, well, that ought to made you mad. No, not really. It helped me. Them trying to see me fail helped me to just grit in, you know, I'm not going to do it, you know. You suckers think you're going to beat me, but you're not going to beat me anyway. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. What we need is a change of thinking, a change of purpose, a change of direction. And it comes from the inside out, not the outside in. Outside in can bring conformity, but it can't change the heart. But once you've changed in the heart, on the inside, then, bless your heart, it's easy for the outside to change. Now notice what he wants you to do. The renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What's God looking for? He's looking for a few of you to show the will of God to the world. Maybe he's looking for all of you.
Amen.
To show the will of God to the world.
Amen.
You know people. Now let's say, we're supporting the preachers, so the preachers do the soul winning and the witnessing and the counseling, and they do the building up of the church. Well, we got three pastors here and some others that are, they're doing pastoral work. That's not a very big group. And it doesn't reach a whole lot of people. But what if, let's say, the responsibility was to change your mind. To change your mind so that you would be an influence on everybody you know. And you'd be an influence on everybody you know. And you'd be an influence on everybody you know. Wow, can you see the difference? It's a vast difference. What we want, what God wants out of the church is for you to do His will, be changed, be different, be peculiar, and a change come from the inside out. It's a change of your mind, a change of your heart, so that you change your life. And it influences people. You know a lot of people. All we've got to do is change you and it'll affect them. Isn't that right? That's our job. And that's what God wants here. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Praise the Lord. That's good. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. For this is the will of God. See how little using and thumbing would find you a verse like that? Little using and thumbing. You ought to be real familiar with your Bible. You ought to work that. You ought to read it enough, often enough. You ought to read it and absorb it and try to think of it and get your answers to your questions out of it so that you could find a verse like this. People come to me all the time, what is the will of God? And I would say that's almost the most important question that I've been asked all my life for 58 years. What is it the will of God that I move and take this new job? Is it the will of God that I, whatever? Is it the will of God that I marry this person or whatever? You know what it says? This is the will of God. Now, isn't that pretty plain? I love it when the scripture comes together, you know? This is the will of God. Okay, now you got it here. Let's see what it says. Even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence. What is the will of God? Your sanctification. Now, sanctification is a great big theological term. And it has a lot of doctrine with it. You remember the temple? That was a sanctified building. It means it was set apart to be holy unto God. That's what sanctification means. Now, in one sense, every one of you that are saved, if you were saved when you were 6 years old or 10 or 17 or 70, when you got saved, God sanctified you one time. Bam! You're sanctified. You belong to God. You're holy. You are the people of God. He's going to take you to heaven with Him. You're going to live with Him forever. Nobody can change that. You have been sanctified by the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Wow. But it has another meaning. It means make holy. Make holy. Some of you need a little more sanctification.
Amen.
You need to give up some things. God wants you to clean up your life.
Amen.
God wants to clean up your testimony. God wants to be able to use you as an example. Do you know what He did with Job? He pointed Job out. He said, take a look at that guy. That guy lives for me. That guy loves me. That guy serves me. Do you know what he's doing right here? I don't know how many people we contact. This 100 or so people. I don't know how many people we contact, but we contact a lot more than 1,000. We're in contact every week with so many different people in each one of these chairs right here. Each one of us has an outreach in the neighborhood, at the work, at the school, wherever. He wants your life to reflect His will. What is the will of God? Your sanctification. He wants you to quit smoking and drinking. He wants you to quit cussing. He wants you to quit telling dirty jokes. He wants you to quit dressing like the world dresses. He wants you to cease to show off your body as the world is showing off their body. He wants you not to live so high on the hog. He wants you not to be some smart aleck. He wants a testimony out of you. He wants you to be able to touch somebody. And they might get saved. You know how most of us got saved? A friend.
Amen.
A parent. Brother, sister. A friend. Most of us didn't just all of a sudden come across a street preacher down there in front of the Alamo and got saved right there. Now some did, but most of us didn't. A friend invited us to go to church. That's all. Didn't even witness. Didn't know how. Afraid. Scared. But they said, would you like to go to church? I like it. We've got a good preacher, or we got a good Sunday school teacher. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit of God touched your heart, and you got saved. Now, how long have you been saved? Have you ever gone back and thanked that friend? You ought to. Somebody influenced you to come to Jesus Christ. Somebody got you under the sound of the gospel.
Thank you, Lord.
Somebody had enough influence on you that when they went to church, you went with them. Praise God. That's what God wants. You know, that World War II hero, Louis Zamperini, he was tortured and left for dead many times, but he survived. But when he come out of the army, even though he survived, he still had these dreams, this PTSD. We didn't know much about it in those days. Didn't call it that. But he was a drunk. The only thing that would stop those dreams was drinking. And he would get drunk, and his wife was just full of it. She was just disgusted. She's ready to get a divorce because he's just drunk all the time. And somebody invited him to a Billy Graham campaign. Well, he didn't want to go. But she went. And she got saved. Just because somebody invited her to go, She got saved. I think he went one time and he walked out mad. And then they talked to him and got him to go one more time. And when he went, he got saved. And his testimony is that after he got saved, his dreams all went away. Didn't need the alcohol anymore. He wasn't a drunk anymore. He gave his testimony at several Billy Graham campaigns. He went back to Japan to preach the gospel to the guards that had abused him. Now, I know in Angelina Jolie's movie it doesn't tell you that, but that's the truth anyway. He didn't just go back there to forgive them. He went back there to preach the gospel to him. And the Billy Graham tape has him testifying. He's a good preacher. That old man, praise God. Somebody said, you need help. Somebody said, I know who can help you. God. And they got him under the influence of the gospel, and God did help him. Well, that's me. Isn't that you? Don't you have a testimony that says, yes, I was lost, and I came to Christ, and now I'm saved?
Amen.
Isn't that a wonderful thing?
Amen.
Wow. Is there anybody that needs to hear that from you? Oh, I'll bet there are. I bet there are people you know right now that you ought to see a change in you. They ought to see a testimony coming out of you. They ought to see faithfulness coming out of you. That's the will of God. You want to know the will of God? Be a testimony. God wants to use you as a testimony to reach other people for Christ. He wants you sanctified so he can use you. He wants to clean up your life. It's not what it ought to be. You know it's not. He wants to use you. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5:16. You want to know the will of God? It says, rejoice evermore. Wow. All your griping and complaining is not honoring to God.
Amen.
That's truth.
Amen.
Some Christians, they claim to be Christians, and yet they're the biggest gripes and complainers. You couldn't please them, no matter what you do. I said booger one time when I was preaching, offended a man. He said a preacher shouldn't use a word like booger from the pulpit. I said, what did I say before I said booger? He said, I don't know. I said, what did I say after I said booger? He said, I don't know. I said, if I hadn't said booger, you wouldn't got nothing out of the message. Rejoice evermore. Rejoice evermore. How about pray without ceasing? Rejoice evermore. Hey, would that make a transformation in you? Oh, I'd like you a whole lot better. You'd treat me a whole lot nicer. If you were rejoicing evermore, praying without ceasing, good night. Hey, I'd be your friend. Now notice verse 18. In everything, give thanks. Look at the rest of that sentence. For this is the will of God. Are you confused? Is it clear? Hey, you opened up the Bible. What you said? This is the will of God. Do you believe it? Well, let me tell you what. You ought to be rejoicing. You ought to be praying without ceasing. And you ought to be giving thanks. Not for everything in this verse, but in everything. No matter what you go through, there ought to be thanksgiving coming out of your mouth and out of your heart. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now look over at 2 Peter 3:9, and I'm going to close with this one. And about right time. Some of you are so spiritually alert that you think that God doesn't want to save you. You think you don't have to be It's not God's will for you to be saved. Now, maybe some of you in here, I've met them. I've had people tell me that. I don't think it's God's will for me to be saved. Well, here's a verse. The using and the thumbing brings light. Look at verse 9 of chapter 3 of 2 Peter. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering to usward, not willing. You see that? Take a look at those two words. Not willing that any should perish.
Thank you, Lord.
But that all should come to repentance. He's not willing that any should perish.
Amen.
Do you believe the Word of God, or do you believe your own imagination? It's not God's will for you to perish. God is not willing for you to perish. You don't have to wait on some special sign before you can be saved. You have it on the written Word of God in 2 Peter 3:9 that God is not willing that any, and that includes you, should perish. That's why you ought to get saved today. That's why you ought to get clear today. That's why you ought to make sure you make Jesus Christ Lord today. As an act of the will, I surrender, I give myself up, I trust you, I take what you offer, I trust you as my Savior. Let's sing "Just As I Am." Let's stand and sing it.